Lord's Supper and the events surrounding it in Matthew 26. We're going to start reading in Matthew 26, verse 26, where it says, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, after blessing it, broke and gave it to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I will tell you that I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Verse 30, "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Now, we traditionally sing several hymns in our worship, and we usually have a hymn that we sing before the Lord's Supper. And it's kind of strange, we're talking about the hymn. I thought we were talking about the Lord's Supper for the Lord's Supper talk. And we are. We're just discussing the kinds of things that they would have done traditionally as Jews for the Passover when they sang their hymns to the Lord. Now, we don't know exactly which hymn they were singing. It could have been any. But we do actually have an idea what it could have been. I think that's pretty neat. We have an idea of the kinds of hymns that Jesus might have been singing before the Passover. The Passover hymns. They were called the Hallel hymns, H-A-L-L-E-L hymns. Those are the psalms that we sing, Psalms 113 through Psalms 118, in the book of Psalms. Traditionally, they would have sung some of these before the Passover feast. Some they would have focused on during the middle of their feast, and some they would have sung at the end. Now, again, like I said, we can't know for sure if that's what they were singing, but it does seem like it would fall into place if we follow the traditions of their time, like they would have been singing some of the ones that we read in the Psalms. The Psalms that we know as Psalms 113 through 118 as the Hallel hymns were songs that focused on the Passover. They were Psalms that focused on God's deliverance, Psalms that would have been focused on joy, Psalms that would have given them the picture of God's deliverance from all kinds of evil, from captivity. Let's think about that as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, as we think about our attitudes towards the partaking. I know Paul says in 1 Corinthians that we should be focused on the death of Jesus Christ, and we should. But what do we think during that death? Is it all sadness? Is it all pain? And it should pain us if we examine our lives in the light of Jesus' death. And we see that there's sin in our lives, and we're taking the sacrifice in vain. We're taking the symbols of the sacrifice in vain. That should pain us. But we should also be thinking about another aspect of the Lord's Supper, the same thing that they would have been thinking about while they partook of the Passover, that is, God's deliverance from captivity. The Israelites, the Hebrews' deliverance from the captivity of the Egyptians, is similar to our deliverance from the captivity and the bondage of slavery. When the Passover lamb was slain for the Jews, for us, our Passover lamb, we see the similarities between the shedding of blood, the passing over of judgment, and deliverance. Let's just talk about the Passover, what they would have been thinking. Jesus, we know, later prays in the garden, sweat comes off of his face like drops of blood. What are the disciples thinking? They're asleep. I can't help but wonder what they were thinking about during the Passover. Jesus, I'm sure, was mentally preparing himself. That's what was on his mind, the sacrifice, the death that he was about to face. What were the disciples thinking? Again, if we see the kind of traditions that they would have been following, they would have been focused on the joyous time of remembering their salvation. I know we do that too as Americans. We rejoice in the times of fireworks and parties and barbecues when we focus on our independence. Those are good times. Those are good days. And that's how it would have been for the Jews as well. They were probably drinking wine at some point in the night after a foot washing ceremony if they were following the traditional Passover meal. They would have been relaxed and reclined at a table. Remember, they sat at these low tables with these couches. And it talks about that they reclined. Sometimes it talks about people lying down to eat. It would have been a comfortable time of sharing, but there would have also been rituals involved that would have kept the tone somber. There would have been a reading, a retelling of the Hebrew history, similar to the kind of history that Stephen tells in Acts 7. And after the lamb was served, they would have been singing. To me, that's interesting. They combined this singing, this remembrance of their deliverance, with song, something that they all would have been doing. I don't know how this worked for the Passover that Jesus and the disciples shared in, but generally the head of the house would offer the readings and offer what we would call devotional time for the Passover. But we do know that everybody got a chance to participate in the singing. And that's something that we just did, songs that focus on Jesus' death. It's funny because sometimes I think it's so easy to be caught up in the sadness of all the things that were involved in Jesus' death. Just like it could be easy to be caught up in the sadness when we remember our Independence Day as a country. People did die. People did lose their lives. Families were torn apart. There was sadness. For Jesus, there should be more of a personal sadness to us because when he died, it was because of our own sins. So yes, there should be sadness. We should be convicted of sins. But I think like they, the Jews, had an aspect of joy that they focused on during their time of devotion. Lucas Ward said, I found this quote. He said, "Growing up, I thought of the Passover feast as primarily a memorial of God's mercy, where God sent the angel of death to punish the wicked, and the righteous marked themselves by putting blood on the doorposts of their houses. When the angel saw the blood, he passed over that house, sparing those inside. The Passover feast would therefore be a quiet feast, a somber feast, commemorating God's great and undeserved mercy." He then goes on to say, "Reading through the Hallel hymns, Psalms, shows us that ancient Hebrews might have seen this feast very differently." So let's turn there. Psalm 113. Where we'll begin. Psalm number 113. If they would have been following the traditions, they would have been reading these before. See how this would have set the tone for them. Psalm 113. "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore, from the rising of the sun to its setting. The name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with the princes of his people. He gives the barren woman a home, makes her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord." Keep on reading through Psalm 114. This is when we really see the focus on the Passover, the deliverance from Egypt. Psalm 114, "When Israel went out from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled, Jordan skipped back, the mountains skipped like rams, the hills like lambs. What ails you, O sea, that you flee? O Jordan, that you turn back. O mountains, that you skip like rams, O hills like lambs. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, who turns the rock into a pool of water, the flint into a spring of water." I think that one's even more fitting for what we're thinking about now. Think about this. The writer is kind of taunting these great, powerful things. He's like, come on, see, why are you getting out of the way? Like, why is the Red Sea parting? It's just us. And the Jordan River, what's the deal? Oh, wait, God is using his power to part that, because God has always used his power for the benefit of his people. There would have been rejoicing. God moved the obstacles out of the way, obstacles that were impossible for us as people, for they as Israelites, to pass over, to enter, to journey into a promised land. He did that for them. He does that for us through Jesus. That's one thing to contemplate. As we're reading here, think about that, the phrase from the song, "In Christ alone, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand." God does that for us, just like he did for the Israelites. He kept his promises. He keeps the promises for us. And he shows us that through the Lord's Supper. Let's jump ahead to Psalm 118. This would have been one of the songs they would have sang after the Passover meal was over. Some interesting verses here. The whole chapter is great, but let's just start in verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This probably would have been ironic for Jesus to be singing if this is the song that he was singing, wouldn't it? Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me, and I become my salvation. Now look at this verse. Does this sound familiar? Verse 22. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord is my strength and my song, right? We can amen that. He's become our salvation by dying for us. That's true. The right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. Yeah, he defeated death. He defeated death. And by rising, he gives that open door for us to rise again. This psalm is really about the Lord's Supper. This psalm is really about that Passover meal that they took. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're proclaiming the Lord's death, his deeds. But again, that verse 22. Who does Peter refer to this as when he quotes this verse? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Who is that cornerstone? The one who died for us. I'd like for us to think about him as we partake of these symbols today. Let's pray. Lord, you have done valiantly. Lord, you have done so much. You have victory, Lord. You conquered death, and you opened the door for us to have eternal life. We can't thank you enough for that, Lord. I just ask that you give us humble hearts as we proclaim your death here, as each of us who takes this is saying, yeah, I believe. Help us to believe more, Lord. Help our unbelief. We thank you that we have this time together as brethren to partake of these symbols. We thank you for the bread which symbolizes his body that was broken and beaten and tortured for us. Help us to focus on that at this time, Lord. Thank you again for all that you've done. In Jesus Christ, amen.